How are we doing? Good to see you all. So if you have your Bibles, I thought the best way to start this morning is let you know where we're going the most riveting way. So Leviticus chapter 1. Yes. So normally, okay, here's the thing. Normally I wake up in the morning and one of my routines before giving a sermon is I go for a walk around the neighborhood and just kind of think through where I'm going and what this morning is going to look like. So this morning, I walk out my door, I'm walking up the driveway, and I'm kind of thinking about a whole bunch of different things, and I see off, like, my peripheral vision, this big, hairy, black thing. I'm like, oh, wow, the neighbor's got a new dog. Thinking, like, that's weird, and I just keep on walking, and then I, like, decide to turn over, and for a second, you know how things don't compute sometimes, because you're like, no, what I'm seeing isn't real? There is this black bear just sort of strolling its way through my neighbor's yard. So I decided, let's not go for a walk this morning. And went back inside, and I survived my encounter with the wild. Westchester County wildlife. Yeah. So, like I said, we're going to be in Leviticus chapter 1 this morning, and we're starting a new series, Christmas in July and August, Finding Peace and Joy. And I need to tell you how this series came about. So about a year or so ago, maybe a little under a year, end of last year, many of you know that I was going through a particularly rough time in life. And I ended up taking some time off. I didn't speak for a couple of weeks, a couple of months actually. Then I came back, and having some time off was great, but yet there was still this lingering despair and hopelessness that was sort of just following me around for a while. And I thought, wow, okay, it didn't disappear for a while. And I said, all right, well, this is just how it is. This is just kind of the new way in which I'm going to operate, I guess. There was this old Dave, but now there's this new Dave. And I just figured this was my new reality. And so there was this one night where I was lying in bed and I couldn't sleep. You ever have one of these nights? And you're just lying there and there's all sorts of things and ideas and thoughts floating through your head, and you're like, you keep looking at the watch or your clock or your phone or whatever you have to tell the time, and am I ever going to get back to sleep? So remember, I was lying there, and I thought to myself, okay, I need to make some changes. I need to at least do something to try to break out of this funk. So it's 2 a.m, and I do, I guess what I gravitate towards, I go on Amazon.com, and I ordered these two books that someone had recently recommended to me. They're about happiness and some just really practical ways in which to promote more well-being and happiness in your life. So 2 a.m, I was thinking about these books, and I said, I'm going to order them, and I'm just going to see what happens. So I ordered these books, and I started implementing a whole bunch of the different practices and experimenting with things that I was reading. And it was almost as if something within me began to shift. As I started putting these practices into place in my life, my center of gravity just began to shift a little bit. And so I thought what I would do here throughout the summer is I would just simply report back to you about what I've been learning over the past year and what I've been discovering. And what I want to do every single week for this series is I want to give you one specific practice that you can go home and that you can experiment with throughout the week. So I'll be teaching 5 weeks, and then I'll have a couple of friends that will be coming up. And actually, I have a new friend. Well, he's an old friend, but I'm not going to even tell you who it is. It's a big surprise. And he is thrilled to be speaking. He's in the audience today, actually. And so he hasn't spoken here before, and I'm real excited to have him come up here in a couple of weeks as well. And here's the thing. So about this series, what I really want to encourage you to do is find someone that you can journey through these practices with. Because it's one thing to do them on your own, and that's great. But it's another thing when you have someone in your life that you can report back to and say, hey, I tried doing this for the week, and this is what I found out. This is what it did to me. This is what was working. This is what I've heard, or this is what I'm hearing, what I'm learning, and to have someone that you can just walk through these practices with. And we'll do that through community groups. So we're going to have three different community groups, the 22nd of July, the 5th of August, and the 19th of August as well. And so if you're new to community group, you haven't come out before, those are the three dates we'll be doing, and we'll just be talking a bunch about our experience with these practices. So today, I want to start with the practice of gratitude. And of course, Leviticus seems like the proper place to start, does it not? So I've been listening to this commentary on Leviticus when I go to the gym in the morning, because that's sort of what gets my blood going. I know some people, it's like Eminem, and other people, they need Kesha or Britney Spears, Taylor Swift. But for me, a commentary on Leviticus gets me going. And it's just given me a whole bunch of different ideas. And so we'll start right in the beginning of Leviticus. And the way in which Leviticus starts is it describes five different sacrifices. So Leviticus 1, verse 3, if the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer a male without defect. Okay, are you already wondering, like, what is this practice he's going to give us? If we go to the next chapter in Leviticus, chapter 2, verse 1, when anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, their offering is to be of the finest flour. The next chapter, Leviticus 3, 1, if your offering is a fellowship offering. Let me go to the next slide. Leviticus 4, 2, say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, and then it goes on and describes how you might sin unintentionally and different people that might sin. This was actually called the sin offering. And one more, Leviticus chapter 5, when anyone is unfaithful to the Lord by sinning unintentionally, they're to bring to the Lord as a penalty a ram from the flock. One without defect. Anyone have a ram from your flock that you can bring? Without defect and of the proper value in silver, according to the sanctuary shekel, it is a guilt offering. Go to the next slide. I believe I have, here we go. So these are the five offerings that we just read. These are the five offerings that begin the book of Leviticus. Now, here's the thing. The last two offerings, the sin offering, the guilt offering, these are mandatory offerings. They are required. Whenever you unintentionally sin, you have to either present a sin offering or a guilt offering, depending on which crime or whatever you ended up doing. And the purpose of this was to provide cleansing, to provide reconciliation. These were mandatory. But the first three sacrifices or offerings were voluntary offerings. In other words, you didn't actually have to practice these sacrifices. If you were so moved in your heart that you wanted to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving or praise or worship, well then Leviticus outlined the instructions for how to do so. But again, these were voluntary. If we go to the next slide, the burnt offering, it was to be an expression of devotion or commitment to God. The next offering was the grain offering. And you would offer a grain offering if you wanted to recognize God's goodness in your life. If you wanted to recognize the provisions that you have been provided for, the provisions that you have been given in life. And then the fellowship offering was an offering to express thanksgiving. Now, why does this matter? Why are we talking about these sacrifices? We have to remember where we are in the story at this point. The Israelites had just been rescued from slavery. This particular group of Israelites, they had spent their entire lives in bondage. They were slaves to the Egyptians. In other words, they were told when to eat, where to eat, when to go to bed. They were told how to do everything, when to do it, where to do it. They had absolutely no freedom. And so Leviticus serves as a manual. Essentially, it's a manual for how to live. Leviticus is a manual for how to live as free men and women. It's a manual for how to live fully into your humanity. Leviticus outlines. To us, it seems very regressive. I get it. I understand. You hear Leviticus, you're like, really? That book? What could Leviticus possibly have to teach us today in our lives? But if you're a group of people who have just been enslaved and they have no idea how to live as free men and women, well, now all of a sudden, you have a manual, you have a book that tells you how to be human, how to structure and order your life, how to establish a society, how to establish a community, how to actually live with your neighbor. Have you ever gone somewhere, maybe it's with a camp or maybe it's on a family vacation, it's a family reunion, and you have trouble trying to figure out dynamic, relational dynamics? Think about thousands of people together in a very small space. Things don't always go so well. You need to set some boundaries and some guidelines for how to actually live and relate to each other. This is what Leviticus is doing. Leviticus is teaching the Israelites how to relate with God. And the way it starts is not with rules and laws and regulations. The way Leviticus starts, it's not with, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, so here's how to make atonement for your sins. It's not with, God is angry with you, God's out to punish you, but it's, if your heart is moved to gratitude, here is a way to express your thanks. Isn't this brilliant? This is how the book begins. This is how Leviticus begins. This is how it begins to teach us how to be human. If you are so moved by what it is that you have received in life, that your heart is just overflowing with thanks, well, here are a few different practices. Here are a few ways to express your thanks. Now, this tells me two things. The first thing is that gratitude is the foundation upon which to build your life. When you begin with gratitude, your heart becomes filled with joy. It's no longer about duty and obligation. You're not doing something simply because you have to do it. You're doing something because there's some feeling within you that is bringing you joy. Something within you that's bringing you peace. See, when I began founding ways to express my gratitude, it was as if everything shifted within me. Because before, when I was just going through particular motions, I was doing things out of duty. I was doing them out of obligation. I had to do them, and it wasn't bringing me any joy. But when I began expressing my gratitude, expressing my thanks, it was as if the whole thing shifted. And now I might have been doing the very same thing, but now I was approaching it from a place of gratitude, a place of thankfulness. And then the second thing this tells me is that gratitude rescues you from entitled living. This way of, I deserve this. Because I think the default in our world today is entitlement. I think the default of humanity is, I deserve this, and if I don't get this, well, then something is wrong. Someone owes me something. And when we're focused on what we don't have, when our hearts are filled with entitlement, and that becomes our main way of viewing the world, then we become so focused on where we lack in life. We become so focused on what we think we deserve or where we believe we've been given the shaft. But instead, when we're focused on gratitude, when we're focused on thankfulness, we're less concerned with what we don't have or what they have instead of us, and we're way more content and satisfied with the things that we do have. So I want to give you a practice this week. And maybe you've heard of this before, maybe you've practiced it before, maybe this is your first time hearing it, but it's a practice called a gratitude journal. Maybe some of you have already practiced this. A gratitude journal is where on a daily basis you write down the things from that day that you're grateful for. Now, some people do this at night. There's a lot of people I know that what they'll do is they'll have a notebook, and just right before they go to bed, they think through all the different things that have happened throughout the day. And then they just mark down the top three or five things that they're grateful for. And here's the thing, you don't have to stop at five. If you're like, wow, today was an amazing day and you have more than five, all right. 3 to 5 is just a general marker. But again, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe you just, you know, came back from vacation in Florida and you're like, whoa, there's so many different things to be thankful for. Yeah, all right, you can have more than five. That's a good thing, because there's going to be some days when you're just scraping the bottom of the bucket and you're like, ugh, getting to three is hard. Then there's other people I know who they will practice a gratitude journal in the morning. Because what they want to do is they want to start their day with gratefulness. And they want to approach their entire day from a posture of gratitude. And so in the morning, they just think through yesterday, or maybe just the fact, I woke up this morning, I am breathing. And in this way, you now approach your entire day from a posture of gratefulness. And then I know someone else, actually, and he was telling me that he has in his phone this list. And throughout the day, whenever something comes up that he's grateful for, he just takes his phone out and just writes down, I'm so thankful that I got to have lunch with Dave today. Whatever it might be, you're just keeping sort of a running tally of all the things that you're grateful for. There's no particular way to do this. Find out what works best for you. For me, I went and I bought myself a nice leather journal and a pen, because for me, writing things down in a nice notebook is a practice, a sacred practice in itself. And just every day, I just start writing down the different things that I'm grateful for, the things that happen, the things that I normally just take for granted. And here's two things that I learned from this practice since I've been doing it. Focusing on gratitude makes you more finely aware of the preciousness of each moment. Probably about a month ago, Steph ended up getting really sick. And I ended up taking care of Reese way more on my own than I'm used to. And we had this daily practice. I'd come home from work, and I would feed him dinner about 5:30. And then we would go for a walk, a long walk around the neighborhood. And he just loves looking at stop signs and squirrels and birds and mailboxes. The dude loves mailboxes. I don't know what it is. Could be a future profession. I don't know. And we just, every single night, dinner, walk. And there was one night in particular, there's a really steep hill in our neighborhood. And I remember I was walking up this hill and I got to the crest right as it was about to start sloping down again. And I'm there on the top of this hill, pushing the stroller. My son's down here with his sippy cup staring off at some bird that he's watching. I felt the sun just radiating on my back, and I thought to myself, this is the perfect moment. I wouldn't want to be anywhere other than where I am right now. And I distinctly remember this moment, and I just offered up a prayer of thanks. Thank you for this experience. Thank you for this moment. Now, again, I do this every single day. We still do this. This isn't like this was some extraordinary event that I only get to do once in my life. This was a normal, ordinary moment. Yet the normal, ordinary moments, those are what life is built upon. Sure, sometimes we have these grandiose experiences, the things that are big and flashy and loud, and those are great. But the majority of our lives are lived in the normal. They're lived in the ordinary. They're lived in the dinner and walk around the block, night after night after night. And what happens is when we don't intentionally focus on gratitude, we begin to take those moments for granted. We begin to think, these are just the normal moments that don't mean as much as the vacations, or the concerts, or trips to Playland, or trips to the beach, or all those big moments that we often live for. But life is lived in the normal, in the ordinary. And as I started intentionally practicing more and more gratitude, just recording in my journal the things that I was grateful for, I noticed that throughout each day, I became more grateful for the small, seemingly insignificant moments, realizing these moments are precious and they're sacred. These moments are holy. And the second thing that I learned is what you focus on determines what you experience, and it shapes the reality that you live. Or another way of saying this is you will find what you're looking for. If you look for the negative in things, you'll find it. If you're looking for the place where it's going to go wrong, you're going to find that place. But if you're looking for the peace, if you're looking for the joy, if you're looking for the moments where to be grateful, you'll find that as well. I remember the end of last year, I was so focused on all the things that weren't going the way in which I wanted them to go, that it was becoming the lens through which I viewed everything. It became the lens through which I saw all of reality. And it was creating this place within me that was void of all peace and joy. And yet as I started shifting and intentionally focusing more on gratitude, it was almost as if I was ever so slowly becoming more and more refilled, with peace and joy. And the longer I did this practice, the more I found myself throughout each day approaching everything I came across with more joy and more, I get to do this. Look at what I get to experience. Now I understand this isn't easy because there's things in life that come up, things we wish we didn't have to go through. There's times in life where sometimes you just want to crawl back into bed and pull the covers up over your head. I get it. I understand. I've been there. There's still days like that, days where you just want to stay in bed. Yeah, living isn't easy. Have you discovered this? But what I found through this practice is that having a heart of gratitude, having a posture of gratitude, it helps me weather the storms. It actually helps me get through those difficult moments. Because if you're at least sitting there, journal, pen, on the couch, thinking, okay, what's at least, just give me one thing I can be grateful for. Okay, I was breathing today. Okay, yes. I got to eat dinner today. One thing, all of a sudden, things begin to look up a little bit. All right. There's something here that I can be grateful for. So yeah, we're all going to go through difficult moments, difficult times in life. But I believe what I've discovered is that just simply practicing gratitude has helped me get through the difficult times. Now, throughout all the different sacrifices that are described in Leviticus, there is this phrase that keeps repeating time and time again. If we go to the next slide, talking about the burnt offering. It said it's a burnt offering, a food offering. It's an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Now, in the ancient world, when you offered a sacrifice, you would see the smoke begin to rise up towards the heavens. And whatever that smell was of what it is that you were offering, what you were sacrificing, it was believed to be in that smoke that was drifting up to the heavens. So the ancients thought, oh, well, whenever the smoke, whenever the aroma drifts far enough up into the heavens where the God that we're sacrificing to smells this, he or she will be pleased. Because the aroma, the smell, it's a pleasing smell. Have you ever walked home, or you ever walk into your house one night and your favorite meal is being prepared? And you're, oh, yes. Think about some of your favorite smells. Maybe it's the smell of salt water on the beach. I can't live without that smell. Maybe it's fried food on the boardwalk. Maybe it's the smell of someone's cologne or perfume that makes you feel safe. Maybe it's the smell of your home after a long day out somewhere. You walk into your home and it's just this familiar, it makes you feel like everything is all right with the world, like everything is okay. This is what's being described here with the smell of the sacrifice. See, I would argue that what God desires, maybe the number one thing that God desires from you, is a heart that's full of gratitude. I would argue that the number one thing that pleases God is when you are filled with thanks. When you are aware of the blessings, however small, large they might be, the blessings that you have received in life, and you express your thanksgiving for those blessings. I believe that what pleases God more than anything is when you're aware of what you've received, and you just offer a simple thanks. You make a small note in your journal. Thank you that I get to experience this. Thank you for this blessing in my life. So my prayer for us this week is that we would become more aware of what we have received in life, and that we would be intentional of offering praise, of offering thanks. Nothing large. Don't go and take your neighbor's dog and do an ancient practice of sacrifice, but just a simple thank you. Thank you. Because I believe that this is what pleases God. And I believe that this is what will bring us peace and joy, which is what God desires from you. That you will fully live into the person you were created to be, and that your heart would be overflowing with peace and joy. God, we come to you this morning. And God, we thank you for this ancient book of Leviticus. God, a book that lays out for us how to be human, how to fully be the people that we were created to be. And God, I believe that we have so much in our lives to be grateful for. And sometimes we're moving so fast that we miss seeing all the blessings that we've received. God, sometimes we're moving so fast that we're missing out on the simple joys that come in the ordinary, that come in the normal. So God, I ask that this week, that our attention would be focused on all the moments that come throughout this week that we're grateful for. All the holy, sacred moments that are found in the normal daily activities. And God, I pray that as we are more intentional about focusing on gratitude, that we would discover a deeper peace and a deeper joy. God, that we wouldn't live lives that are filled with duty and obligation, but that our posture towards the world would be one of joy. And look at what I get to experience. So God, I pray that your Spirit would show us this week all the places in our lives, all the blessings that we have received for us to be thankful for. So we pray, we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.